Today's shir is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Samachay, and we will begin on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Kohen Karev Etzem Mizbeach. We've learned as part of the procedure of bringing the Karev Pesach that the Kohen who stands closest to the Mizbeach, Kohen Karev Etzem Mizbeach, does one Zerika facing the Yisoid. As we will learn a Mitzvah Shem, the Mizbeach had a base around it. And around that, and around the area where it was the base, that's where they threw the Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, Man Tana Pesach Bezrika, who says that the way that the dam that's brought to the, that's sprinkled on the Mizbeach, that Zerik on the Mizbeach, is done from pouring, from throwing it from far, not just by spilling it on the Mizbeach. Amar Chizda Rav Yosef Glili Hi. It follows the opinion of Rav Yosef Glili. The Tanya, Rav Yosef Glili Omer, the Pasuk says regarding the Korban Bechor, we know that when an animal has a first baby male, that animal is Kaddish. And the Torah says, as Domram, Dammam, it's interesting that the Torah doesn't use the word Dammam, which is Dammai. It doesn't use the Lashon Yachid. We're speaking about one particular carbon, we're talking about one particular carbon, the Korban Bechor. Yet the Torah uses the Lashon Rabbim, Dammam, as Dammai loy nemar, el Dammam, in Lashon Rabbim. Chelboy, further the Pasuk says, the Pasuk doesn't just use the word chelboy, the chelov of this carbon, ela chelbom. The Torah uses the Lashon chelbom. Lima al-Bechor u'maisa u'Pesach, to teach us that all of these karbonis, which are similar, she'af hein tumim matan domim, ve'mur al-gabim zbeach, that they're all kachim kalim, and that the way to do it is they require the dam to put on the mizbeach. And the fact that the Torah uses the word tizroik teaches us it should be thrown at the mizbeach, not just poured on the mizbeach. And that, therefore, our Mishnah follows clearly the opinion of Rav Yosef HaGlili. And as the Rishonim point out, that we learned, as we're going to learn right now, that it has to be done keneged the yisoid. So if you look at the mizbeach, not all the corners of the mizbeach had yisoid. The southwest corner did not have a yisoid. So now the question is, when we're learning that you have to pour the keneged the yisoid, which corner do you throw it at? So the Meiri says, any corner. As long as there's a corner where there is a yisoid, that is enough. But then he brings out an opinion that it should be done at the northeast corner, because when one walks up the ramp and he turns to the right, that's the corner which he will be on. Continues the Gemara, Menolan, so as we just discussed, it has to be poured by the Yisoid. How do we know that is the Halacha? Answers the Gemara, Amar Belaza, Asi Yizrika Zrika Mi Oila. We learn Xer Shav from the Korban Oila. Ksiv Hacha, it says here, regarding the Bechor Maisa Pesach, as Dabmam Tizrik Al Mizbeach, V'ksiv Hasam, the Pasuk says by Korban Oila, V'zarku B'nei Aaron HaKehanim, as Domoi Al Mizbeach Soviv, Ma Oila Tuna Yisoid, just like the Korban Oila has to be poured where there is a Yisoid, as we will see in a moment, A Pesach, so we learned that the same thing has to be by the Pesach, Yisoid, it has to be put on a corner where there is a Yisoid. Ask the Gemara, V'oila Gufa Menolan, how do we know that it has to be where there's a Yisoid? As we just learned, that would exclude certainly the southeast corner. Amakra, the Pasuk says, El Yisoid Mizbach Ha'oila. It would have been enough to say Yisoid Mizbach. Why does the Torah say Mizbach Ha'oila? Alma, from here we learn, Oila Tuna Yisoid, that the Korban Oila should be poured where there is a Yisoid. And then, as we just learned, there's a Gzeirah Shava, which connects these two halachas, and just like here, it should be by the Yisoid. Here, too, it should be by the Yisoid. So we learned in the Mishnah that there were three groups that participated in the bringing of the Korban Pesach, and we learned that the first group went in, then the second group, and then the third group. And the Braisa says, he, Nikras, the first group is called Kas Atzlonis, because they were, Atzlonis means laziest, they were, so to speak, the laziest group, because they only went after the three, they were a third of the three groups. But as the Gemara, as we've learned in the previous year, that the halach is that there has to be three groups. As the Gemara Sagi, the Lav Hochi, we have to have three groups. So if we have to have three groups, why are we faulting them? Why are we saying anything? We have no choice but to have those three groups. May have a lemevid. What other option is there? Answers the Gemara, Afila Hochi, even though indeed there are supposed to be three groups, Iboilu Lezruzin Afshayu, they should have tried not to be the last group. Ketanya Rebbe Omer, Yefshel Oilam B'Leibasam, everybody has to work. And the world needs people who have the profession of selling perfume, Ublai Bursi. And we also need people who tan leather. And throughout Shas, we know that tanning leather involved not such a pleasant odor. Asher Misha Om Nosu Batsam, lucky is the person who is a basam, who works with perfume. Voilelem Nosu Shabosu Bursi, there has to be a tanner. Similarly, Yefshel Olam B'Lezacharim B'Lein Lekevus. The world has to have boys and girls. Asher Mishabonim Zacharim, Voilelem Mishabonim Lekevus. Wonderful is for the person who has boys versus girls. So the Mepharshim explained that what's pshat? The world does need, as we just learned, both of these professions. So why is there a complaint when somebody has not that profession? So I saw that the Sefer Korban Toida explains, a person who lives, even though we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu cursed Adam HaRishon, that b'zeis apecha toichel lechem, that you have to work for a living, but it's not required that it has to be such hard work. A person who lives with a muna will not necessarily pick a job that is a difficult job to fulfill. The person who chose the difficult job obviously feels that there's no other way that he's going to have panasa. And having that type of an attitude, that the only way I'm going to have panasa is if I have to work hard in a job which isn't that great, is a tremendous lack, shows a tremendous lack of amunah. So the Gemara says that Asher mi shebonav zecharim, oilam mi shebonav nekevus. So the obvious question is, there's nothing wrong with girls. The mitzvah of bimekayim, the mitzvah puravu, requires that one should have a boy and a girl. So what's the Gemara saying that a person should only have boys? It's great if you have boys. So if we look in the Lashon of the Gemara, Asher mi shebonav zecharim, v'oilai mi shebonav nekevus. So the first phrase is understandable. His sons are men, a male. What does it mean his sons are female? Bonav is a male. Nekevus is a female. How does that statement work? And therefore, the Mepharshim explain, the Chasam Sofer explains, that Bonav and the Kavis are not to be understood in this Gemara in the context of males and females. Rather, the way Bonav, Zecharim and the Kavis in this Gemara are to be understood in the context of somebody who's able to have children who are givers. Bonav, Zecharim is always the wording to use for somebody who is a giver, who's a mashpia, who is able to influence, not the cave of somebody who's only a receiver. So we're not talking about boys, nor are we speaking about girls. We're talking about the characteristics of your children. And we're learning here that better one should be metzem zoicha, that it should have children who are givers, not takers. And this Gemara, who says that the people who waited to be the last group to bring the Korban Pesach, is the basis of a tshuva that the Marit and Chelek Aleph, Simon Tzadik Zayin, writes to his community. He says that the minig, the custom of that community was that they used to daven mincha very late, right before the shkia. And then they would daven ma'ariv right after that. And the Marit writes that that's inappropriate because we have to be concerned that if you're going to daven mincha that late, you may end up getting delayed and not being able to daven mincha, or certainly not davening mincha in the right time. Furthermore, he says that in general, a person should always try to do mitzvah as early as possible. As we learn from Avram Avinu, the pasuk says, "V'yashkim Avram b'boiker," and he says, just like by shachris, you should daven shachris by the nates as early as possible, so too by mincha, you should daven mincha as early as possible, not to be, like our Gemara just said, from the Kayat Atzlonis. And so too is the Aruch HaShulchan, in Simen Reish Lamegimel Sifches teaches us. He says that people, the daven mincha late, and he says, even though the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, says, mitzvah l'spalel im dem dumei chama, it's appropriate to daven towards the end of the day. Even though it's appropriate, he says, to daven towards the end of the day, not that it should be at the expense where chas v'sholem it may come that you're going to miss mincha or daven mincha too late. He says, yes, if a person has no choice, that he's working or any other situation that prevents him from davening mincha early, we understand. But if a person has the ability to daven mincha earlier, just like our Gemara says, we should try to do it as early as possible. However, the Shari Tshuva in Simen Reish Lamed Hei Sifkat Beis teaches us actually that the Arizal waited to daven mincha late because of what we just learned, that there's a special point of davening im den dumei chama. Continues the Gemara. K'masei b'chol, whatever was done with bringing the Karan Pesach during the weekday, kach masei b'Shabbos, so too the weedling was done on Shabbos, that the Mishnah taught us that the Kahanim would clean the floor of the Azara shloi b'tzorin chachamim. Ask the Gemara, shloi b'tzorin man, which Tana is the Tana that's unhappy with that type of activity on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, Amar of Chizda, shloi b'tzorin Rebbe Lezer. It was something that Rebbe Lezer was dissatisfied with. The Rabbanon, because if we're going to want to say it's following the opinion of the Rabbanon or Amri, the entire Isser of cleaning out the floor of with only Shvusu is the Isser the Rabbanon. And as we've discussed many times, Vein Shvus v'Migdash, there are no Issurei the Rabbanon in the Beis HaMikdash, so it wouldn't be prohibited. Mahi, ask the Gemara, what is the Machlokes Rebbe Lezer Rabbanon? Says one of the Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Echet Chaylev, if somebody milks an animal, and as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, the Isser of Chaliva is the Isser of Mefarik. Vechad HaMechabitz, if somebody takes the rennet of an animal and puts it into milk in order to make cheese, he's Chayiv, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, for Boirer, because what happened is when we make the cheese, the milk, the whey, and the curdles separate, and that's considered a act of boirer. And then megabin. Megabin means taking the various cheese curdles and putting them together, pushing them together to make them into blocks of cheese. That's the malacha of boina. If you did any of them with the shear of a groigris, you chayif. Continues the braisa. Hamachabid, somebody who sweeps out the house, v'merabits, or they used to, the house floors were made out of dust. So if somebody sprinkles water on the dust in order to have the dust settle on the ground and not be up in the air, v'aroy dechals davash, or somebody takes out honey from the beehive, if he did any of these malachs b'shoygi b'shabes, chayef chattas. Considered that he did a malach on Shabbos. Hezeh b'yontif, he did it on Yontif, loikas aboim, then he gets malchus divir Rebbe Lezer. Because according to Rebbe Lezer, Mechabed, Merabates are considered Ashvuy Gumas, and somebody who does Ashvuy Gumas is Chayiv for Boina on Shabbos. The Chum Amrim, the Chum hold Echad Zeh, where by Kibbut, Rebuts, and Radius Chal Dvash, they hold only Elam Shem Shvus, only Yisad Rabbanan. So Rashi explains the Vremask Lechod that when the Bryce suggests used the words Echad Zeh, it's referring to Mechabed, Merabed, and Roida. How, and according to that, these three Melochis, Rebbe Lezer considers them Melocha Daraisa, and the Chum disagree with Rebbe Lezer, and they hold that they're only a Drabotan. However, the Chacham will agree by Choylev, Mechabitz, and Megabin that they are awesome Drabotan. They are all awesome Daraisa. However, there are Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Ran, who are of the opinion that when the Braisa used the words Echadzeh, it doesn't mean these three Melachas that we're discussing in the second part of the Braisa, but rather it means Echadzeh, B'Shabbos V'Yontif. And therefore, the Rashba explains that the only Melacha where there's a Machloikis between the Chacham and Rebbe Lezer is on Merabitz. But the other Melachas will agree there is no Melacha There is a third opinion that says that the Rabbanan are disagreeing by all of the Melachas, and that by all of the Melachas the Chacham hold that they're only the Rabbanan. However, so now we understand. So since according to Rabbanan, the Isser of sweeping the floor, washing the floor, is only an Isser Drabbanan, ain't Shvus ben Mugdish, and therefore it should be permissible. Only according to Rabbi Lezer, where there's an Isser Daraisa, that's why we have to be Machmer. So what is the basis of the Machloikis? The simple pshat is that the Machloikis says, is it for sure when you sweep your floor or when you wash your floor, is it certainly going to be Mashvigumis clear out the cracks? If it for sure will happen, then it's a Pesik Reisha and it's Issa Deraisa. If it's not certainly going to happen, it's only an Issa Drabonim. But Tosfos, the Ramask LaMechabed, suggests that it's difficult to explain the Gemara that way because it turns out that they're arguing in a Metzius. Is it going to for sure happen or not? And therefore, Tosfos says that the Machloikis is when somebody is doing this type of sweeping, cleaning the floor, does he really intend to clear out the gumos? If that is his intention, then it's indeed a malacha deraisa. If that is not his intention, it remains a davar shein miskaven, and therefore we could be more lenient. Ravashi says a filo tema, we could explain our Mishnah that when it said Shaloi B'Tzayin HaChamim, it doesn't mean only that Rebbe Lezer would have been dissatisfied with what happened. It means Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Nosson, the Tanya Rebbe Nosson Amma, Shvus Tzricha Hitiru. Shvus Shein Tzricha Lo Hitiru. Even if we'll say that indeed, cleaning out the floor, washing the floor is only an Issa Drabonon, and as we've been discussing, the Issa Drabonon only apply, there's Ain Shvus B'Migdash, says Rebbe Nosson, that isn't just a rule under all circumstances. The halacha, the Ein Shvus B'Migdash, was only stated when it's something that the Beis HaMikdash requires. There's no need to necessarily have to clean out the Beis HaMikdash at this time, and therefore the Chacham will agree that it should not have been done on Shabbos. So many Rishonim asked the question. The Braisa says, whatever, certainly according to Rebbe Lezer, the way we learned, even very passively, according to Rabbanan, making cheese, etc., is also on Yontif. If one did it b'mezid, he'd be chayiv on Yontif. But don't we have a halacha that achasha of oichel nefesh, that anything that's done for food preparation may be done on Yontif? So why is it also? It's a situation of oichel nefesh. So Rashb explains that we're speaking here about the milk and the cheese of a non-kosher animal. So there's no oichel nefesh on a milk and cheese that you may not eat. Another pshat that I saw is that it's being done in a time and yontif where it's not being done loichel nefesh. It's being done right before the end of yontif, where this food will not be able to be eaten on yontif anyway. The heter of oichel nefesh only applies if I'm going to be able to eat that food on yontif. But this food won't be able to be eaten in yontif. There is no heter. And the last teretz is that even though the halach is, as we just said, that on yontif we're allowed to do oichel nefesh, that doesn't mean we're allowed to do everything on yontif. And not all malachis are mutter because of oichel nefesh, and this is included in the group of that's not mutter on oichel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda taught us further in the Mishnah that kais hayim emali, that the kohen would take from the blood that was on the floor of the base of the azara, fill up a cup of blood with it, and do one zrika on the mizbeach. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda hayim kais hayim emali medama terivis, he would fill up a cup with the blood of all the blood that's mixed on the floor. Why did he do so? Explains the Braisa, Shim Yishafech Dama Shalachim Mehem, if the blood of one of the Kabbonis had spilled on the floor, Nim Tzeh Machshiroi, so, and carbon without Zrika Sadam, we know is not a valid carbon. The Zrika is the critical avoiding the carbon. So now, if that was missed, that's how we can make it up. Amar Lo Rabbi Yehuda, V'loilan Skava B'Kli, the blood that's on the floor never had Kabbalah Sadam in a Kli. And if it never had, in the Kli, Kabbalah Sadam Kli, that dam can never be used for Zrika. Ask the Gemara, Menah Yadi, how could the Kahanim ask the Gemara be so certain that that never happened? Says Maracha Kamerle, this is what the Chum meant to say. We need to be concerned, Shem Aloy Neskab of a Kli. Maybe the blood wasn't properly Neskab of a Kli. And if it wasn't properly Neskab of a Kli, then why are we doing this? And as the Rishonim explained, that since the entire reason Rabbi Yehuda is telling us to do it, because we're worried that maybe the carbon wasn't brought properly, so Rashi Devar Maskel Shema Devar Maskel Menor says, so how does this solve our problem? So Tosfos Devar Maskel Shema asks, you're right, we don't know for sure that if there was a carbon that didn't have Zrika Sadam, this will solve the problem, because maybe you're going to be doing Zrika with dam that wasn't done properly. But Tosfos says that the concern of the Gemara is that dam that you can't be mekayim the mitzvah of Zrika Sadam, you can't put on the Mizbeach. So Tosfos says the Gemara's question is, we're trying to solve a potential problem, we're doing something that's usur. And therefore, since it's potentially usur, we shouldn't be doing it. And I saw that the Sefer Oyle Shlomim takes it a step further. If we knew that there was no Zrika Sadam, so we have to start judging, is this a way of rectifying? But we don't know for sure that we have a problem. So since we don't know for certain that we have a problem to do something which is potentially wrong, why are we doing that? Amalehem, Afani Lamarti, Elish Neskabel Kli. So Rabbi Yehuda responds, of course, I'm only speaking about a situation that I know that this dam was first Neskabel in a Keli before it spilled on the floor. Ask the Gemara, however, Mano Yoda, how am I to know that? Answers the Gemara, because Kahanim's reason him. We can be sure that the Kahanim are careful to make sure that all the blood goes into a Keli. Ask the Gemara, if we're so confident in the Kahanim, his reason, I'm my Mishtapach. So why are we worried that some of them got spilled out? And that's why I have to do this new Zrika. Answers the Gemara, specifically, because Agav Zerusayu, because they're so careful to do the Avodah, and they're so anxious to do it, it could come out, the Mishtapach, that it will get poured out. Ask the Gemara, but why should we not be concerned that Dama Tamsis Murabai? When one shechs an animal, as the Rambam, we're going to follow the opinion of the Rambam, says Dama Tamsis, is blood that doesn't spurt out. It's blood that comes out, trickles out. The dam ha-nefesh, lifeblood, is dam that comes out strong. What happens is, when one kills an animal, slits the neck, at the beginning and the end is dam ha-tamtzis. Only in the middle is the dam ha-nefesh. And the dam ha-tamtzis cannot be used for zrikas ha-dam. So again, ask the Gemara, why should we not be concerned that this is dam ha-tamtzis, and the only dam that can be used for zrikas ha-dam is dam ha-nefesh? V'loy dam ha-tamtzis murabo. Answers the Gemara, B'yudah tamei, dam ha-tamtzis dam ha-al-yuhu. The dam ha-tamtzis is considered full-fledged blood, and therefore, the halacha is that that dam, even if there's that dam in the cup, it doesn't make a difference. The Tanya, dam ha-tamtzis bas-hara. The Isser, we know the Torah is very strict that we may not eat dam. If somebody eats dam ha-tamtzis, he's only over a lav. The chiyuv karis that normally comes for eating dam, the Tana Kama holds, doesn't apply by dam ha-tamtzis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda disagrees and he says it's a chiyuv karis. Ask the Gemara, even if they disagree regarding the dam, even if they disagree regarding the issur of eating, and Rabbi Yehuda considers dam tamtzis regarding the issur of eating dam, full-fledged dam, Vamar Belozer asked the Gemara, the Maider Yehuda Linya Kapara, as far as Rikas dam, Shena Mechaper, that you can't use dam tamtzis. Shenemar, Ke damu benefesh yechaper, and learns the Gemara from there, dam shenefesh yotzeba, the lifeblood can be used mechaper for zrikas adam. Dam she'ena nefesh yotzeba, but if it's not dam ha-nefesh, it can't be used. The dam ha-tamtzis, it can't be used for zrikas adam. Ena mechaper. Says the Gemara, el Yehudel tamei dam ein dam avatel dam. Throughout halacha, when we speak about a taruvis, when we speak about a mixture, we speak often about a mixture of min b'minoi and min b'she'ena minoi. If two things that are similar got mixed up, or if two things that are dissimilar got mixed up. And it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that if two things are dissimilar, there is no bittel. If two things are similar, there is no bittel. So says the Gemara that here we're referring to dam and dam. So even though it's dam and dam, but since they are similar, the min b'minoi, Rabbi Yehuda says they never bottle. So even if there's a mixture in this cup of blood that's dam ha-nefesh, which is usable for the zrikas ha-dam, with the dam ha-tamtzis, which is not usable, the dam ha-nefesh will not become bottle, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it's min b'minoi. The way Rabbi Yehuda knows that min b'minoi, the halacha is not bottle, because the Torah says that on Yom Kippur, we bring the kohen does the avodah with the dam ha-par, and then he does avodah with the dam ha-soyer. The par is a cow, the soyer is a sheep. There's much more blood in a par than in a soyer. And yet, the Torah says that when we mix them together, the lokach with dam ha-par and dam ha-soyer, the dam ha-soyer doesn't become bottle. Why? Because it's min b'minoi, they're both blood, and since they're both blood, the halacha is that it can be used. They're not min b'minoi, it's not bottle. So we learned in the Mishnah that all of the blood gets drained out in the Beis HaMikdash, that a canal and the Azara, that through that canal, all the blood got drained out. However, we learned in the Mishnah that in Erev Pesach, when they brought the Karm Pesach, they would close up that drain, that all of the blood would back up onto the Azara. Tanya, Amalem Yehuda, Lidavrechem, that they don't take this blood to do this extra Zrikas Adam, as we just discussed. The question is, Lama Paikim Azara, what was the need to close up the drain? According to me, says Rabbi Yehuda, that I want to get all this blood and take a cup of it and do Zrikas Adam for the reasons we just learned. It's understandable. But why, according to you, was that done? Amar Lo Yisra Chum respond, Shvachu L'Bnei Aaron. It's a special shvach for the Kohanim, Sheyelchu Ad Arkavaseim B'dam, that they walk up to that, they walk in up to their knees in blood, to show the beautiful, their wonderful attitude to the avoider, that they're ready to walk and blood. So ask the Gemara, v'kachayitz. But by doing this, there's a chatzitza between the kohen and the dam that he has on his leg. Says the Gemara, lachu, we're talking about something that's moist, vein chaitzitz. And therefore it's not a chatzitza, ketanya. As the Bryson D teaches us, hadam v'adiyoi hachol v'advash, blood, ink, milk, honey, yveshim, when they're dried on, chaitzitzin are they a chatzitza, lachin, but when they're moist, they're not a chatzitza. And therefore here, that since it's a davalach, it's not considered a chatzitza. Why is a davalach not considered a chatzitza? So Taisus Masech Tzvachim, Daf Ayin Chesam Beis Davar Maskel Deli, says because the water constantly, if it's the liquid, if it's wet, it's moving up and down, and therefore it's not considered a chatzitza. The Urayim disagrees. The Urayim says because if it's only something moist on your body, it's not something that is going to bother you. So the Chazanish asks that this Tosfos that says since it constantly is moving up and down, it's not stationary, I could understand why it's not a chatzitza when somebody's going to the mikveh. Because the water that you're going into also is constantly flowing. But what does Tosfos mean when we say that it's not a chatzitza? So he says that, so the Chazanish asks that the point points out that since it's not considered stationary, it's considered that it's not a chatzitza. The definition of a chatzitza is, by definition, Tais was saying that it becomes part of your body. But since it's not permanently part of your body, that's why the Gemara is saying that it's not considered a chatzitza. This question comes up regarding somebody who takes a shower or a bath right before he puts on the tefillin in the morning. And the question that would come up is that if his hair is still wet, is that considered a chatzitza? Because the halacha in Shulchan Aruch Siman Chav Zayin Sif Dalid is that when somebody puts on tefillin, he has to be concerned that there is no chatzitza. And the Mishnah Melech in Hilchos Avodah Hashem Kippurim, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, says, as we learn, the Mishnayis, the Gemaris, and Masech the Yuma, when we say the Avodah on Yom Kippur, the Kohen went to the mikveh 10 times, and the Halacha, the Torah tells us, says, Olav in the Stabik, he would go up and dry himself. So the Mishnah Melech explains that the Mishnayis are not just telling us a story that Olav in the Stabik, that he would dry himself. Olav in the Stabik is a halacha that the Kohen has to make sure that he's completely dry before he puts on the Big Day Kahuna, because otherwise it would be considered a chatzitza. So the question is, so we see that he dried himself to avoid a chatzitza. What will be the halacha here? And because of this, the Birkei Yosef indeed says that one should make sure that his hair is completely dry, just like the Kohen made sure that he was completely dry in Yom Kippur. However, the Birkei Yosef himself says that, just like our Gemara says, that a dover lach is not considered a chatzitza. It could be that that's a special halacha by the Big Day Kahuna, but not under normal circumstances, this would not be considered a chatzitza. Interesting to point out that the Ramah teaches us that when somebody goes to the mikveh, if somebody, and he has dried blood on his body, even if it's, we just learned that only moist blood, liquidy blood, is not a chatzitza. But the Ramah teaches us that if somebody goes to the mikveh and he has dried blood on his body, but his profession brings him into constant contact with blood, a butcher, a mohel, so dried blood doesn't bother him, and therefore would be considered a chatzitza. it seems the Shvus Yaakov says, no, our Gemara didn't make that type of differentiation. The Kohanim constantly work with blood, and our Gemara clearly indicated that a Kohen can't have dry blood, it would be a chatzitza. So the Beis Yitzchak answers that the Kohanim usually didn't do the Shechita. The Halach is Shechita Ksher Bizar. And therefore blood wasn't considered by them a chatzitza. Another answer is like we just quoted the Rikki Yosef. It could be by the avoid of Kohanim, there are different rules than for regular people. And therefore, that's why there it would be a chatzitza by the Kohen, even though it's not a chatzitza, as the Ramah says, in other circumstances. Our Gemara also said, Shvachu l'bnei Aaron, sh'yelcha ad akvaseim b'dam. So the Chasam Sofer discusses in Masechta Sukkah that sometimes when somebody buys an esrig, and he has a beautiful esrig, it's a clean esrig, and a kosher esrig. And the question is that as it's used during the yontif of Sukkot and people touch it, particularly sometimes you have a esrogim that many people touch, and because so many people touch it, it gets stained, and the moisture that's in the esrig starts coming out, and that causes all sorts of stains. So Chasam Sofer says, so now the question is, can we use such an esrig during the rest of Yontif? And the Chasam Sofer says, absolutely. If the reason we're supposed to be careful to take a clean esrig is because that's considered a hador, but says the Chasam Sofer that this, the Nefesh Chaya I saw says the same, that this actually is what is considered hador. The definition of having an esrig that got ruined, so to speak, because it was being used for mitzvah, is actually a hador. And I saw that the Shas HaTshuvos Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Tes Siman Lamed Beis, quotes this Chasam Sofer, and he says, interesting, that the Chasam Sofer is not in the Tshuvos Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer is in the Chidush Chasam Sofer, Masechta the Sukkah. And he says, because the Chasam Sofer is not in the Tshuvos, but just in the Chidushim, that people, he say, that don't notice Chasam Sofer. He says, but this Chasam Sofer is a critical Chasam Sofer to know, and it's lechatchila to fulfill the mitzvah. To fulfill the mitzvah this way, with an esrig that was used and isn't as nice as it was previously, it shows how I participated so actively in doing a mitzvah. But then I saw that the Sefer Sifsei Chaim explains our Gemara. Blood is typically associated with something that's negative. We know how the Torah, as we've been learning in our shir, is so strict about the isser of eating dam. And our Gemara is teaching us that it's beautiful to take something which represents dam, which represents something negative, and use it for the positive, use it for avoid the Hashem. Continues the Gemara. But when you're walking up to your knees in dam, ask the Gemara, Komatasu Minayu, doesn't that make your clothing dirty? Vitanya, and we learned in a Braisa, Hoy Begadim Tishtoshim, if the big day kunim work dirty, Vavad Avaidasa Psula. V'chitem, as he'll suggest, the Madalel Minayu, he picks up his clothing so they shouldn't go onto the bloody floor. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya, but doesn't the Braisa say, in speaking about the Big Dekuna, the Torah says, Mida bad, Midoi kimidasoi. You have to be careful that it should be the right fit. Shlo yechse v'shlo yose. It shouldn't be too long or too short. Answers the Gemara, we're speaking about Allah Sevarim Lekevis, when they took the limbs up the ramp, that is not an avoida. Ask the Gemara, V'loi, how can we say that it's not an avoida? If the Torah requires that only a Kohen may do this avoida, then isn't that the biggest raya that avoida he? The Tanya, the Pasuk says, V'ikra HaKohen as a kol ha-mizbecha. From here we learn, Zuhai lochas avarim lekeves, that the avarim should be taken up the ramp. So how can we suggest that it's not an avoida? Says the Gemara, we're speaking about halachas etzel maracha. We're speaking about putting the wood on the mizbeach. And even though normally it was done once a day, but Pesach Erev Pesach, since they brought so many kabbonis, they had to constantly put more wood on the Mizbeach, that's Lav Avoida. Ask the Gemara, but Halachas Avraham Lekevis, but we still have a question. There were times that we had to walk in the Azara to take the Avarim up the ramp, Halachas Dam, to the Mizbeach, Hechi Azli. How could they walk if the Mizbeach was, if the Azara was full of Dam? Answers the Gemara, the Mazgi it's to be. They were like stone beams in the Azara, and they walked on top of the stone beams. And the way I saw that the Rishonim explained that since they considered part, stone beams part of the Azara, so that's considered like you're walking on the floor of the Azara. So we see from here that there was a special requirement that the Bigdei Kahunim should be exactly to the fit of the Kohen. Why was the Torah trying to teach us that it has to be the exact fit? A person has to know that he has to do what's exactly right. Not too much and not too little. And I saw that the Sefer Divrei Chaskel Shraga tries to explain the Gemara. He says, we know that sometimes before a person does a mitzvah, the Yetzirah tries to convince the person, who are you to do the mitzvah? And after he does the mitzvah, he tells him, nah, your mitzvah wasn't done properly. He says, here we're learning the mitzvah should be done without any of those considerations. And in fact, he says, it's interesting, this halacha of midei bad isn't taught in Pashas Truma Tetzava, where the Torah teaches us all the halachas of the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, it's taught to us in Pashas Tzav. Why? Because the Pashas Tzav, we know Rashi begins, Tzav, Ein Tzav, El Loshen Zeris. B'yoyse Tzor HaKosel Lazarus. The Torah in Pashas Tzav is being Mizaris us, is encouraging us to do the mitzvah properly. And the Torah is giving us the proper attitude towards doing mitzvahs. What's the proper attitude toward doing mitzvahs? Midei bad. Shlo yechsar v'shlo yoyser. Continues the Gemara. Keitza toilem avshitim. We learned in the Mishnah, how did they hang and skin the animal? Korav oitzias amarav. They opened up the animal, they took out the amrim. Nosnim amegiv. Victorian. He put him into a pan and they put him on the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, Otto, who gufay of Magdalay? Is the person who skinned the animal the person that put it on the Mizbeach? The skinning of the animal could be done by a Zor. And the Haktara, of course, has to be done by a Kohen. Ema says the Gemara, the purpose was done, like Tirma al Gab Mizbeach, to ultimately put them on the Mizbeach. And we learned further in the Mishnah, Yotzukas Rishoina. The first group went out, and they roasted the Korban Pesach. Tana Kalacha Ve'echad Noyesim Pischa Ba'aroi. Everybody put the Korban Pesach, left it in its skin, or Mashal Achayra, and put it on his shoulders. Amar of Ilish, and Rav Ilish says, Tayos. The way it was done, like the Arabs carry their animals. So I saw, what's the point of teaching us that they were done like the Yishmaelim? So Rav Yaakov Emdim explains that a person, the Pasuk says that David HaMelech tells his wife, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, a person shouldn't be embarrassed. So walking in the street with the Korban Pesach on your shoulder or walking is not necessarily the most dignified way of walking. But on the contrary, that's what they wanted to do, to show that we don't mind walking that way. We're connecting our Kadosh Baruch Hu we're connecting ourselves to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, I saw that the Zohar explains that by walking this way and connecting yourself to the Korban Pesach, we know that Pesach represents a shmira from anything bad happening from a person. That's the way you fulfill and obtain the shmira that the Korban Pesach brings. Hanu Loch Tamen Nishchat. Hadron loch tamad nishchat, hadron loch tamad nishchat. Our Mishnah goes on to discuss that Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. We could bring the Korban Pesach. But in what way is the Korban Pesach brought on such a Shabbos? So it says the Mishnah, El Dvarim b'Pesach shedoichen se Shabbos. The following activities, when you bring it on Shabbos, may be done, when you come, Erev Pesach and Shabbos may be done in Shabbos. Shchitasoi, Zrikas Damoi, Mika Krovov, taking out the inside of the carbon to put it on the Mizbeach, Vektaras Chalavav, and burning the Chalav. Avotzli also roasting the Karm Pesach, Vadachas Karvav, cleaning them, and Yadachas Shabbos. Hakavasoi, carrying the animal through Rishus Rabbim, Havasim Chutzotchom, or bringing it from Chutz L'Tchum, Chatechus Yibaltoi, cutting off a wart, and a darchen as a Shabbos. Because all of these are malachis that not have to be done on Shabbos. They could have been done Erev Shabbos, and therefore can't be done on Shabbos. But as I'm a darchen, they're not the real part of the Karm Pesach, the machshirim. And Rabbi Tana Kama holds that Machshiri Mitzvah and not Doicha Shabbos, and Rabbi Lezer holds Machshiri Mitzvah Doicha Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Lezer says, V'lai Dinu, Omam Shchita Shim Meshim Malacha. If Shchita, which is a full-fledged Malacha Deraisa, the Alacha is Doicha Shabbos, Elu, so these activities, Shem Meshim Shvus, that only represented Rabbanon, Lo Yitchu Es Shabbos, certainly they should be allowed to be performed on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Shua, so Rabbi Shua responds, Yontav Yechiyach, Shetir by Meshim Malacha, that Bishul and Shchita, as we spoke earlier in our Shir, may be done on Yontif, L'tzorich Eichel Nefesh, still, also by Shvus. Anything which is a Drabonon, which doesn't involve Eichel Nefesh, may not be done on Shabbos. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Maza Yeshua. I don't understand your point, says Rebbe Elazar to Rebbe Yeshua. Ma Raya, Shus, what are you bringing me Raya from when somebody prepares food at home, le mitzvah. Here we're talking about bringing the Karm Pesach, which is a mitzvah. Heshe Rabbi Akiva Vama. So Rabbi Akiva had a dialogue with Rabbi Elazar to make the point. Hazal, the halach is that if somebody becomes tamei, we have to sprinkle on him the paraduma water on the third day and the seventh day, and then he's tar, toichiach. Himisha mitzvah. Somebody who's tamei, as we learned and will continue learning, may not bring the Karban Pesach. So, of course, doing the Hazor is a mitzvah. And even though doing the Hazor is a mitzvah, vihi, it's only osim shem shvus. Still, the halach is, ein adoich shabbos. Af ata al tatam aleilu, therefore, the halach here is the same, api shem shem mitzvah, even though they involve a mitzvah, Vehein shvus lo yitchus shabbos. Amalei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Allah nidon. I'm speaking about the Hazor itself. Umam shchita shimishu malocha. Going back to Rabbi Elazar's point. If shchita, which is a malocha deraisa, doichus shabbos, Hazor, which is only mishum shvus, a mesakin, ain't a din shadoichus shabbos, certainly it should be doichus shabbos. Amalei Rabbi Akiva chalef. We could make a counter argument. Umam izor shimishum shvus. If Azor, which is only in Issa Drabonim, that loch is, ain't a doich as a Shabbos, Shchit Yishim Hashem Locha, ain't a din shalai titch as a Shabbos. Amr Lezer says to Kiva, how could you suggest that the Shchit of the Karim Pesach should not be permitted on Shabbos? Akiva Katam Hashikos B'Tayra, then you would be going contrary to what it says in the Torah, when the Torah says, B'may Adoy, that the Karim Pesach should be brought B'may Adoy, B'ayim B'chol B'Shabbos. Amalei Rabbi Kiva, so Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Avili Me'ed Elu K'may L'Shchita. The Pasuk indeed is coming to teach us that the Shchita, which has to be done on Erev Pesach, may be done on Shabbos Erev Pesach, whereas the other things which do not have to be done on Shabbos may not be done on Shabbos. And in fact, Rabbi Kiva summarizes, Klal Amar Rabbi Kiva, K'malok Sh'ef Shal Asos Me'Erev Shabbos, anything that could have been done from Erev Shabbos, ain't a doichus Shabbos, may not be done on Shabbos. Shchita, but the Shchita has to be done on Erev Pesach. She efshla sois from Erev Shabbos, which could not have been done from Erev Shabbos, that is doichus Shabbos.